And I'm Mary Angish. It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Charlie, I know you want to talk about all the flying pests that tend to be really prolific when the weather is hot and humid and wet and sticky, namely mosquitoes and deer flies.
Yes, deer flies. It's been a horrendous year for deer flies, especially. They will bite you to get the blood so that they can reproduce. I mean, and they hurt too.
Yeah.
So they're really irritating. For the deer flies, there's not a lot you can do to be proactive as far as preventing them from being around, but there are some things you can do to protect yourself. One thing you could do is if you have an old baseball cap, there are these patches, sticky patches you can stick to the back of your hat, and it has a sticky side on the hat side and the other side, because the deer flies love to, as you know, buzz around your head, and they land on the back of your head because they're smart. You can't see them back there.
Yeah.
But if they land on that patch, they get stuck and they die.
Mm.
It's a little irritating if there's a lot of them there because they keep buzzing for a while. But anyway, that's something you can do. The best thing, though, I think, is getting netting, like camp netting that you would use when you're going camping. This would be netting you put over your baseball cap or whatever kind of hat you have. It comes down to your shoulders. They'll still buzz around you, but they won't be able to bite through the netting, and you'll be safe that way.
Mm.
So that's probably a good solution for deer flies. The mosquitoes, of course, again, warm, humid weather. They love to breed and come out. You want to make sure you don't have a lot of breeding grounds for them. So standing water places, like in a gutter that's blocked, or some pails or whatever it is where there's water that's sitting there for days, that's where they're going to lay their eggs, and the larvae is going to be there and they'll hatch. So if you can clean out those periodically, even bird baths, it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a pond or a pool, you can get these mosquito dunks, which like look like little donuts.
Yep.
You just pop them into the water. They have Bacillus thuringiensis israeliensis. It's a form of BT that kills the larvae in the pond but doesn't harm amphibians or the fish there. So that's another way to reduce them. And for both of these, if you can encourage predators to your yard. So damselflies or dragonflies will go after and eat deer flies. So if you have some ponds around to attract them, don't use the gimmicky stuff, though. No, there's one that's a little wire you attach to your hat and has a little model of a dragonfly.
Okay.
But for the mosquitoes, if you can put up bat houses,
encouraging
bats to come in there, they will feed on the mosquitoes. So there are some things we can do to be proactive and enjoy the rest of our summer.
Awesome. A couple of questions for you, Charlie. This one coming up from the Eastern Townships in Quebec, and they write, Charlie, where have all the raspberries gone? My 15-year-old patch produced a yearly abundance of berries in spite of mild neglect and limited sunshine. I love how honest they are. But they write, this year, there are few plants and almost no berries. It seems like I'm not the only one. My neighbors here in the Eastern Townships of Quebec tell the same story. What's happening?
Where have all the raspberries gone? I know that song.
Yeah.
So I think there's a couple things going on. In the case of the plants not flowering and fruiting, it could be lack of sun. They mentioned that they don't have a lot of sun there, and that will, of course, reduce the amount of flowering that's going to happen on your berries, even though raspberries tend to do okay in part shade. The other thing has been really wet the last couple years, and so the plants could be rotting. If you look at the plants that are on there and you see that the leaves are kind of shriveled, the plants are stunted, they could have viruses. 15-year-old patch is pretty old for raspberries, and insects will move viruses from wild raspberries to the domesticated ones, and eventually you'll see that the plants get stunted, the berries either form and they kind of crumble, or they don't form at all. So I think the best thing to do would be to mow down that patch, start over again in a sunnier spot with some new varieties that'll be more disease resistant.
Okay, great. This one's from Chris in Woodstock, and Chris attached a photo for us of a caterpillar found in the garden. Chris writes, it's a few shades of green, a bit of a horn, about 1.5 inches long. It was snacking on my broccoli. I'm surprised that it's in there at all, as I've had my broccoli bed framed and screened the whole season. Our first thought was a tomato hornworm, but there's no telltale red horn. Can you tell what sort of caterpillar is
in Chris's garden? I think it's a confused tomato hornworm. That's what it is. I looked at the photo of it, and the telltale sign is that little horn. It doesn't always have to be red. So that little horn really tells me that it's probably a tomato hornworm. Why it's on your broccoli and not on your tomatoes, that's the confusing part. We're not quite sure. There are other big caterpillars that are out there. The Luna moth, for example, has a big caterpillar, but I don't think you'd see that in your garden. It's more an insect you find in the forest on tree leaves and things of that nature. So assuming it's a tomato hornworm, you can just pick it, put it in a pail of soapy water, and then check your tomato plants because there's probably others around.
Excellent. Send questions to gardening@vermontpublic.org and listen wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.